AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Are you scouring the web for the best Black Friday and Cyber Monday deals? Stop it! Get Rakuten. Rakuten is a shopping sidekick that gets you cash back on gifts for everyone on your list. Right now, you can get up to 15% cash back at the stores you love. You can even stack cash back on top of the biggest sales of the year. That's savings on savings. It's more time shopping and less time searching. With Rakuten, you're always saving at your favorite stores on the things you're already buying. Cash back is automatically added to your account as you shop, and you can get paid with gift cards, PayPal, or check. Or eligible American Express card members can even choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. It's truly a no-brainer. Now's the time to join. Up to 15% cash back ends on 12/2. Plus, new members will receive a welcome bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to Rakuten.com, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Terms and conditions apply.
Really, it's just first thing getting up in the morning and just, I mean, it legit, there's a lot of work, but it never feels like work. I think that's by far the most exciting thing of whether if I just have to do like phone calls all day or cold calls or a bunch of sessions, like it's all the same, but it's all exciting knowing that this is all something that me and my business partner created. So it's like, honestly, it's all exciting just getting up in the morning and not having the feeling of like, I'm going to a dead end job. I hate my boss. I hate all this. So I think the most exciting thing is just knowing that where I'm going is like our thing and we're just continuing to grow it. Yeah.
Yeah. So feel me when I bring it, sing it loud. I'm from the loop and I'm proud. Run a mile for the cause. I'm right. Hi, guys. It's your girl, Nahama, your favorite Jew from the loo. Welcome back to my podcast. And today I am so excited to have Kramer Eigemeyer. I said your last name right.
Right, yeah.
I think that's like my new tradition whenever I'm like interviewing people where I'm like, oh shit. I had one guest who I forgot their name. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't introduce them until like later in the episode. And then I'm like, I think this is her name. And then I said it out loud and she like rolled with it and it was her name. I was like, thank God. Oh. That was rough.
I've definitely done that a couple of times with some clients in Dallas, like this one girl in particular, Taylor. So my brother initially did like her consultation and he passed her off to me and completely blanked on her name. Trained her for a month, didn't know her name.
No way.
So we got around to, in order for me to like figure her name out, a kind of like thing that you said before where it's like, oh, if you forget, ask what their like name is, last name.
Yeah.
And then they say it, you're like, oh, I already forget how that went. But you get it regardless. I ended up getting like her last name and I looked up in the system and was like, oh, that's right.
Right. Yeah.
I was like,
smart.
Taylor, that's right.
Just so everyone knows, the trick is if you forget someone's name, you can just be like, hey, what's your name again? They're going to get all insulted and be like, what? You don't know my name? And then you say, no, of course I know your name. I meant your last name. But they'll say the first name first and be like, Taylor, of course, come on now. It's been a month. You think I would have forgotten your name? Like, how awkward would that be? So it's just great. But the nice thing is, being a barista, mm-hmm. I really try to remember people's names too because it makes them feel special. Mm-hmm. And I forgot a guy's name and he said the kindest thing. He was like, I mean, honestly, that's on me to be more memorable to you. If you don't remember my name, like.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I was like, yeah, it is on you. That's right. I do see a lot of people. That's your business. But so talking about how you and I met, I was walking through, I actually think it was right before Africa. And I had been thinking about switching gyms. I had found your gym and like CrossFit Ready to Live earlier this year in January. And right now it's currently September. And I knew I wasn't switching before Africa. I'm like, this is too much. There's too much going on. This is too much drama for me. Yeah, because your gym is like your third space in a sense, you know, like, you know, even if you don't know the people, you know, the vibes,
right? Yeah.
You know where all the machines are. You're like in your flow and it's just, it's a vibe.
Yeah.
But, I also just thought it was a cool space. And I realized that I was going to Lifetime, which is like the bougiest gym that you could possibly go to in St. Louis, mm-hmm. which is very much my personality. But I really only was using the actual gym part. I wasn't using any of the perks. So it didn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. It's like pay for the extra amenities and not really utilize it. And
I'm turning 30 in April. And I was on their junior membership. And they were going to like up the payment even more.
Senior membership.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, you're a liability now. Everything's downhill from here. And I was like, no, this is too much for me. So I remember I had an event with Babes in Business and I was like their coffee sponsor. And I knew from Sam Schaefer that he had gone to your gym. And he's like, yeah, they have the little K-cups there. You should see if you can like drop by some of your coffee sometimes, see if people like it. And I had extras. So I came by and I just dumped it in the bin. So yeah. I was like, great, people will try it. It's going to be great. And then Mel was there and he was just like, yeah, you should totally join. And you were training someone. And I was like, I'm interrupting them. He's like, go, it's fine. Yeah. And I talked to you right before I left for Africa. Yeah, I was totally dissociating when we met. But
oh, yeah. But it's crazy, it's been that long already, too.
Yeah. It's been a few months.
Yeah. So I was saying, it's flying by.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, did you know Cody beforehand, too?
Yeah. So, yes, Cody, I DM'd out of nowhere because I had... Sam was my initial introduction to the gang.
Right.
Sam was the first guest who I ever messaged who I didn't know at all. Someone had just been like, there's this really cool guy. He has a great story. He loves to talk.
Yeah.
You should connect with him. So I reached out to him and he said yes. And I was like, wait, that's so cool. A stranger wants to be on my podcast. Then we met and he's like a connector. So he started introducing me to everyone. He wanted me to get Josh on.
Mm-hmm.
But Josh was like, not until you take a class.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you ended up doing one though, right?
I did. I've taken multiple since then, you know, which I love them. They're great. So, and sometimes now that we're friends, if like it's the end of the workout and they're all hanging out, like, can I just join? Can I just like slide under the radar, please?
Was that your first time doing an ice bath?
Yeah, it was. The first time I did it, well, here's the thing. I have a control issue, which is something that I've learned from Kilimanjaro. But first, I learned that with like the ice bath experience, because when you get into a cold plunge, it's just first your brain's all like on adrenaline. Like, yeah, I just did the thing. And then when you realize that there's like 3 more minutes and you can't get out,
mm-hmm.
it's like, shit, yeah. My body freaked out. Like I full on like. The first time, full on panic just everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then doing the breath work really helped. And like that just totally changed like my whole mentality around breathing and life and how to handle situations. Because like I think sometimes we can like our brain can trick us thinking that we have things under control. Mm-hmm. And then when you're in that moment, like in the cold plunge and you're like, no, definitely not in control. You know, like I need to be in the situation that I'm very uncomfortable in, but learning to like quiet your mind for real.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then when the hyperthermal layer like goes over your body and then you're like in an ice bath, but you're feeling warm and then all of a sudden you're calm and they're like, okay, time's up. And you're like, chilling.
Yeah. And it's like that last little bit flies through.
Yeah. And then every time there's still that initial shock. But
yeah.
This past week I did a glamping trip. And it's Lost Hill Lakes.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl who runs it, Sam, she got trained like with Josh and everybody there. So mm-hmm. she's kind of like an extension under like nice. Their umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
And so she had to go to a dentist appointment. So she went through the first round with me. And then I did the second round by myself, which I thought was like pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Especially if you can get through with no coaching and you're like, yeah. I can do this.
Yeah. That was pretty sweet. So
yeah, it's like that first 30, 45 seconds is like there is no control, then you're trying to regain it. And then it's like the last 2 minutes, 15 seconds is like you have that control. And that's weird where you have like that zen clarity. And then when you get out, you have like the euphoric feeling. It's, I love it.
Yeah. So to bring all this like full circle, there's so many questions that I have for you. So one of them is that the fact is I know like when we had done like our little like coffee pregame beforehand, you had mentioned that you were really into like stoicism. And like also you're an entrepreneur. And it was so funny because all entrepreneurs and business owners, they do this thing that I don't know if they realize that they did, but you did when like when we first met, where I think I was complimenting you when you were like by your desk about like how awesome it is that you brought like your dream to life.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is so great. And you're like,
I'm like, eh, it's okay. I mean,
no, it was the breath. It was that breath where you're just like, because like I think sometimes business owners are so hard on themselves when they're thinking about that laundry list in their head of like what still needs to be done. Because yes, you open and it's functioning, but you're like, first of all, how do we keep the lights on?
Right.
But then also like all the things, like it may not match your vision, but I don't know what your vision is.
Right.
All I see is a gym that like you actually made a reality because you were a trainer first.
Right.
So maybe let's go back to the beginning of how you got into fitness.
So when I first got into fitness, I was about 13, 14 years old. Yeah, it was, it's kind of crazy to think that I was like that young, but it was more of a, my brother. So in high school, he ended up like really high.
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Extended his knee, so he tore his ACL, MCL, LCL, sprained his PCL, and after he did that, he had like a year and a half recovery for playing football. But then after he got back from that, he started really getting into like working out, taking care of himself, bigger, faster, stronger. So then me being the little brother that I am, I was like super annoying. I'm like, ah, let me go with you. I want to do everything. You know, he's wanted to do stuff with his friends. I'm like, no, let me go. I want to go. Like, you know, and
he, the age gap.
So he's 7 years older than me.
Oh, wow.
So
definitely that fixation. Yeah.
Yeah. So definitely like he's in high school, 15, 16, trying to go do stuff. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, mom, let me go with him. Like, I want to do all this. And
yeah.
But anyways, he ended up doing that in football. And then he started into working out. So then me being who I am, I'm pestering my mom, be like, hey, have him, tell him to let me go with him, all this stuff. And he starts taking me, then I end up loving it. So I started going in like seventh, eighth grade, something like that. So then whenever I get into high school, I end up convincing my dad, like when it's like late at night, because I mean, small town Chester, there's not much going on, but I was like 15 years old and I convinced my dad to let me take the truck at night. It's like, go to the gym, you know? And he's like, well, I'll just drive like you got sense. Nothing's going to happen. I was like, cool. Then it was like, ever since he took me that day, fell in love with it.
That's so great. I feel like for like boys especially, they just have so much energy.
Oh, yeah.
Having some outlet where they can just like almost in a structured way.
Mm-hmm.
And then also I feel like little boys also like are so into like their little puzzles and like figuring things out. That's why they love video games. That's why they love all those things. So then I feel like if you – there's always this joke that I've seen like so much on like Instagram and TikTok where it's like – gym bros are really like the biggest nerds ever. You know, because there's so much like science and like stuff figuring it out, you know, between like nutrition and working out.
Yeah. And there was a whole like competitive aspect too, because me and all my friends, we've always played baseball, basketball, football. So it's also a competitive thing. Like we start to work out and we're like flexing on our other friends and stuff, like just being dumb, like teenage kids. Then bragging to one another, then they start getting into it. And it's kind of like we're constantly having like competitions with each other.
Right.
So it's just kind of like endless cycle of it. And then, hell, I mean, it lasted quite a long time. It still has lasted. So.
Right. Well, I heard this quote recently and it's funny because some people were just like, this doesn't make sense, but it kind of does, where it's like, don't love your job, job your love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was exactly it.
Like, yeah.
I never knew what the hell I wanted to do because, like, dad's in construction. Mom did, like, kind of, like, caregiving. Not, like, at nursing homes, but she'd kind of do stuff, like, in people's houses. And
that's really hard.
Yeah.
And chose to do that?
Yeah, I applaud her for
She's
it.
She's a special soul.
Oh, 1,000%. She's, like, obviously I'm biased. She's, like, sweetest woman walk the earth. It's unreal. But then, like, dad was in construction, so I was like, I don't know, maybe I'll do that. I'll get into heavy equipment operating, and then kind of had an interest in it. Then since my brother took me to the gym, I was like, nah, this is I want to do something with this. So then he went to SEMO, went for exercise science, and then I just ended up following him basically. Because then I went to SEMO, then out to LA, then Dallas, like just kind of following him. So
what took him out of Chester though?
So he was like, he never really wants to like kind of like be home or be around the people just because there's like small town politics, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So his was always like the dream was like going to LA, making it. And, you know, like.
That's crazy. Like, LA is really hard to make it in any capacity.
Yeah. Yeah. So a town of 4,000 to going out to LA, like it's insanely different. Then he ended up getting a personal training job at Equinox out there, which is like super prestigious. It's like, it's like the Lifetime here.
On steroids.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. To where it's like all the sessions there are like $150 an hour. Like it's just insane. So he started becoming a personal trainer there. Then he got moved, like he got promoted to Dallas, became like manager of personal trainers there. And then he went back to LA. It was like the same gym he was at. They wanted to make him a manager there. So when he was there for a little bit, he ended up having a business partner that he met, and then they started their own gym out there, and that's was like perfect for him because like LA is like the dream for him. So him going out there ended up like paving the way for me because then I did my internship out there with him, got to learn under his wing and everything. So like I moved out to LA, then we went back to Dallas for like our second location, and it's been awesome ever since.
So the question that I'm curious about is like, what, I mean, obviously there's pros and cons to both, I'm sure, but like, what is this like driving desire that so many trainers have to like start their own gym?
Well, I think it's depending on the structure. I think a lot of personal training is like have like an entrepreneur kind of setup, but it depends if you're independent or if you're under like a corporate gym. But it's I think kind of people falling in love with what they do, but there's like a small percentage of people that kind of want to go do their own thing. Some people just want to do like the training and that's kind of it for them, which is fine. You can make good money doing that. But I think it's some of the people want to go start their own thing, just want a little more out of it. But it's
stick to building something of your own.
Yeah. And it's being on this side of it, it's way different than like the personal training and managing my own clients and that. It's like a whole different realm. So it's like, if you're not 100% into it, I don't recommend it, honestly.
There was another trainer I was talking to recently, and she was saying how like she's noticed that a lot of times when people end up going to start their own gyms, they end up like almost hate gym life and all of that.
1,000%.
Do you have that experience? Do you struggle with that?
I've had it quite a bit, yeah. I think it's more or less one of those things where like I don't hate the gym, but it's more of ones where like if you're doing something you love, like next where you hate, it's kind of like basically if you're going to bed at night and like you're eating in bed, you always have that association of instead of going to bed to sleep, every time I get in bed, I start craving snacks and like you end up kind of going away from like this is the purpose of laying in bed. So for me, the gym kind of became, instead of being a place where I work out, train with clients and stuff, it becomes this management thing. So then the working out kind of is in like the back of my mind. So it's kind of hard to get that disassociation with it. So like when I was in LA and Dallas, I actually got memberships at other gyms just so like when I would go there, it's like, okay, I'm here, cool. I can work out.
You can just be a person working out. Yeah. You don't have to worry about like, oh, this is off. This needs to be taken care of.
Yeah.
I don't like what they're doing. Something like
that. Yeah, because like at RFT, it's like I'll start to work out. Someone comes in, obviously I'll take care of them and everything. But it's like I can be on one of the adjustable benches and feel like something's a little wobbly, and I'll kind of look at it. I'm like, oh, that needs fixed. I need to tighten that.
And there's that responsibility.
100%.
You're just going to the gym. You're like, someone's not doing their job.
Yeah, I'm just like, someone's got to fix this. This
I'm like, that sucks. Like, you know.
Yeah. So then funny. It's like I start with one. I start to go down the line. I'm like, you know what? I better check out the leg extension. I better check out the hack squat. And then by the time I know it, it's 45 minutes later. I'm like, well, workout's not really there.
I thought about this too with like for me, creating my coffee shop. Cause like for me, I went through this whole transition about, January 2024. So almost 2 years ago, where I was like, don't like what I'm doing right now. I'll have this like, burning, like I can only be a consumer for so long, and then I need to get like my hands dirty and start creating. That's right. Why I'm doing this too, because like I love listening to podcasts, and I'm like, I just want to do it. You know, it's fun. There's so much to this that people don't realize, even with like this, like editing and like the background with like the sounds, finding guests, all these things,
getting the lighting right, and
oh my gosh, like even let's say for example, like the glare, learning that I should like close the blinds behind you. Learning curve, you know?
Yeah.
Just little things like that. But with the coffee shop, it's like part of my mind is that I'm creating a space that I would love to hang out in. It's a coffee shop that I haven't found that I'm looking for as a consumer. Right. Like this is a place that I want to hang out. But I also know that like when you're the one, even just working as a barista, like it's a totally different experience than just like going to a coffee shop.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's different levels that each little piece you might be at, there's totally different levels for wherever you're at.
But you know what's kind of fucked up about being like an entrepreneur is that like when you're thinking about all the hard things and all the responsibilities and like maybe you're feeling like overwhelmed, you're like, but I wouldn't change it for anything.
No, not at all.
It's so messed up. You know, like you talk to anyone, they're like, wow, that sounds really hard. Like maybe you shouldn't do it. And you're like, wow.
Yeah.
It's like this thing where once you start it, you can't stop.
Yeah. It's like, I'm not just going to stop. It's like, even if I start complaining about it, whatever, it's like, if anybody suggests like, well, if you stop, I'm like, well, that's dumb. Like, no, I would never.
Empowerment too of like having a struggle or a challenge and then figuring out the solution. And like, there's plenty, no one mans an island, right? Like there's no such thing as like creating something yourself. There's so many people who help you and guide you. And even it could be survivors, like, you know, who you may never see again. And then sometimes it's like central people who are always there to support you. But I just think that once you start creating something, it's really hard to just going back to being like an employee for other people. Because even now working as a barista, I'm like, just doing my time because this isn't my coffee shop. So I gotta like,
and you still have those little thoughts like, I would do that
very differently, but I'm like, it's okay. You know what, that is education too though, you know, like that's important as well, which is why I wanted to get that experience from the ground up working for different coffee shops, seeing what I like and don't like, pros and cons to everything. I'm sure I'm gonna mess up.
Yeah, and that's where I'm a big believer in that too, of like if you're gonna like start something that you should know every little bit of it, like even with the gym, like cleaning the equipment or like ordering the equipment, fixing stuff. Like, I feel you should know every little level. So when you go to hire people for that, you kind of have a little bit of background of it and some understanding of, if you're giving someone like a hard time, but you don't actually comprehend what's going on, then it's hard to get that understanding.
And how do you get solutions if you don't really know what the problems are or how to solve them, you know?
Yeah.
And also, I think there's a respect level from your employees that they know that anything that you're asking them to do, you can and would do. It's just not the most efficient use of your time.
Right,
so you're delegating it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was like, it's also like the big thing, like in the beginning is like, it'd be nice to delegate stuff, but it's more or less, I have to do it in order to like save money, labor costs, whatever. Yeah. So then it's kind of getting to that point of like, you know, having too much pride in doing stuff. And then now that we're getting to like a pretty good point, it's like me trying to delegate stuff. I'm like,
is that hard?
Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know if it's like a control thing of like, I'm afraid if I pass it off, it's going to get done not the way I like it and stuff. But at some point, got to let go of some of it, you know.
I'll say though, that like It's important finding the right people, because there is that fear of like, are no one's ever going to care about it as much as you. They're just not, because it's your baby, you know? But at the same time, if you can find people who almost buy in as leaders in their own right, then they're going to take that pride in their work.
Right, exactly.
So then, yes, they might do it differently than you, but also from your perspective, being like the leader on top,
right,
giving them that space to figure it out for themselves. It's really cool to watch people be like, you know what? We wouldn't have done it like that, but it's working.
Yeah, and they might figure out a better way that I would never even thought of.
Yeah, you know? And sometimes it's not even better. It's just different. And you're like, okay, I really just don't have the capacity to do that too.
Yeah. And I mean, if it works, then
if it works, it works. As long as it's not ruining the business or doing something bad, like
yeah, as long as it's just progressively like stacking wins on top of each other, like it's always good.
Yeah, it's interesting, because I just had lunch 2 weeks ago with my first boss out of college. I don't know if you knew this, but I worked corporate for 8 years.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I was a graphic designer, and so when I lost my last job, that was when I was like, should I apply? Our life is short, and should I just figure it out? Because I'm a big believer, like, I don't believe in job security, I believe in God security. I've just seen that way too often, like, things can change, you can't rely on people. And if you're meant to have money, you're going to have it regardless. So you might as well do what you love.
Right, exactly.
And life is short, and I could die tomorrow. So I might as well just live it.
Yeah, there's no point in waiting for it, you know.
No one's going to hand it to you, too. So I met up with her, and she was like, but you were so good. Like, why did you leave? But, like, listening to her journey, because, like, I haven't – oh, God, I don't think I've talked to her. I'm 29. I don't think I've talked to her since I was, like, 23. So it's been, like, 6 years. So in the course, hearing how – because we both left that company because it got bought out. And so hearing how her career has gone on. It's like, I don't want that for myself. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I was just like, it was so reaffirming for me to hear where it's like, I think a lot of people want the safe jobs, and there's nothing wrong with that. We need people who want the safe jobs.
Right.
To help the economy, to help life happen. But it's like, if that's not for you, that's okay too. But the hardest thing sometimes I think is that, like, until you get to a space where it sounds like you're starting to get to that space where it's like all starting to kind of make sense, all the hard work, all the maybe like personal things in your life that you had to push aside to like make it be where it's at right now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now you're kind of to like maybe find a little bit more balance.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But until that point, I'm sure, did you have that experience, I should say, of friends or family kind of being like, what are you doing?
Oh, 100%. Mostly my friends, family, they completely get it. Cause my dad's the same way. He's always busting ass, like trying to, I mean, he's supposed to retire in January. We'll see if that actually happens, but, family, super understanding. Most friends are, not all of them, super understanding. Cause like, even was that last weekend, 2 weekends? Yeah. 2 weeks ago, I went to Indianapolis, and that's like the first trip I've taken in like 6 years.
Whoa.
Like, so it's like with, well, besides a corporate trip with the other gym I was at, but that's, it was forced. So, it's even stuff like that. Cause like, I knew I wanted to start my own gym, but it's like, I always feel like I don't deserve like a vacation or go somewhere until like I'm in a comfortable spot, you know, it's where it's like, I don't have to be there all day, every day. Like, I feel like until I get to the point where I can step away, then I'm like, okay, maybe I can enjoy life a little bit. Which I know I should anyways, which I do, but I feel like mentally I have to be to where I'm like comfortable or a good spot. And I'm like, okay, maybe I deserve a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, I think it's also just a part too, where it's like, I don't know if I'd say it's having too much pride, but more of it's where I'm just like, I don't deserve this. I haven't done anything, you know, even though I've done like a lot when I look back and reflect, but it's until a point where I can make sure other people are getting paid good and then gym's doing well, then I'm like, okay, I can step back. I can delegate a little bit.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that point is, but it's getting closer. I know that.
I think I'm a big – what's the word? I think words matter. Okay. So where your intentions are and your energy is, I think is very commendable. I think you're coming from a place of like a combination of like being an incredibly hard worker and then also being mm-hmm. super humble.
Yeah.
So that's not a bad quality at all. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to do you really well. And I think that's probably why you're at where you're at, you know,
right.
because mm-hmm. I feel like I've met a lot of trainers over my course in the gym life who have been like, yeah, I want to have my own gym, but I don't know many of them who've actually done it. You know what I mean? So it's like the fact that's why when I met you and you had done it, I was like, hell yeah, that's so cool. That's awesome. You know?
Yeah. Then I was like, yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. You're like, yeah, because you're thinking that that yeah is so heavy because it's like everything that it took to get you where you are right now and everything that you still want to do, you know, but like
it's like mentally mapped, but I'm just like, we're not there yet.
I think perhaps this is like the polarity between like a masculine and feminine perspective, because like a masculine is always in that energy of earning and achieving, and then especially, I think once you start to really work hard, you kind of attract or seek out people who are doing the same thing, if not better.
Right.
So then you're no longer comparing yourselves to what the masses are doing. You're comparing yourself to all the amazing people who you aspire to be like.
Right. Exactly.
It's kind of like when I first started going to Lifetime, for a minute there when I was working corporate, I was trying to be those people who like went to the gym before work.
Right.
So
yeah.
I was
so like
a
5 a.m.
I was a 5 a.m.er for a little bit. And I remember being like, waking up in the morning, the sun wasn't even out yet. Like everyone, like the dog walkers aren't out yet, you know? And I'm like driving and like, you see maybe a few like semis on the highway, but I'm like, hell yeah, look at me, I'm a winner. And then I go to Lifetime and I'm like, motherfucker, I'm like, this is why they're all rich. Like, but this is so annoying. Like, you're a winner until you join the room of winners. Then you're like, I'm nobody.
Yeah, like, right. I'm right back at ground level.
And I think that's what happened for me with like Kilimanjaro too, because like I've had a lot of people be like, it's funny because when I interviewed Cody talking about his Kilimanjaro experience, and when I interviewed Sam talking about when he climbed the mountain too, I was like, like climbing a mountain, like what a cool thing. And like now that I've done it, I'm like, Trevor's like, why are you so chill about it? I'm like, first of all, I was not in great shape. I was the slowest one in my group. And I got everywhere. So to the point, I don't know if I told you this, but to the point where like some at night, everyone leaves at midnight, right? I needed a little TLC. First of all, by day, it was like a 7-day track. By day two, I already had one of the guides holding my backpack for me. So any videos that you see me holding the backpack was for the gram. And then I had to get right back to them. I was like, needed to drink water. I was just like, hey, when's it getting? So like, I can't. It's too much for me. So they all decided, they were very concerned about me. And I only found out afterwards that actually nobody thought I was going to make it to the summit.
Really?
Yeah. But I'm very stubborn. But I should say tenacious. Tenacious is better. I'm very tenacious. Words matter. And I've got grit. But, and I was like, it was also just so embarrassing to like not do it. Too many people knew about it. And also I've been doing it for charity. So I was fundraising. So all the hard earned money of all those people who believed in me, I was like, what, I'm not going to make it?
Right.
I'm not an option.
I'm going to waste their money with this.
And I'm here in Africa. When am I going to be here again? Maybe never. Am I going to absolutely not. I will die before I don't get this out. And I lost 2 toenails, so it's great. Yeah. But when I was like, I had to leave at 10 p.m. I left 2 hours before my whole group. Okay. I was the first one on the mountain that night.
Mm-hmm.
So people talk about that experience of like seeing like the snake lights of all the other climbers ahead of you. Nobody. No one was there. I was by myself. Well, and my guide and the guy who was holding my backpack. shout out to Ellie. But when I finished 4 hours after my group, even though I started 2 hours before them. So I was hiking from 10 p.m. till 7:30 a.m.
Wow.
And I was one of the last people to get to the top of the mountain. One of the girls who I climbed with, she said when she passed me, she was like, I've never seen someone with such a stubborn, determined look on their face, but also determined to do it at your pace. So I was hallucinating the whole way up. Like Ellie got me up there just because he was like, I was like, I'm so tired, Ellie, because the side effect that happened to me was I kept wanting to fall asleep.
You get like elevation sickness at all?
Not that I'm aware of.
Mm-hmm.
My nose was kind of bloody, though, which was a weird thing. But as I was climbing up the mountain, I was just like, Ellie, I just need to sleep like 2 more minutes. Like every time there was like a rock, he was like, just climb to that rock. And then there was a point when it was just getting like, there was no rocks to sit on. So I would just plop down in the middle of the truck and just let people climb around. I was like, I choked. It was just, and I just remember like hearing people woo at the top. And I was like, I want to woo. I was like, I wanted a picture with my coffee bag at the top of the mountain. I was like, I'm going to do it for the coffee. So shallow. Got me there. But I remember people were like, that's so awesome that you did it. And I was like, I get to you. It seems awesome. And like, yeah, maybe majority of people, like I didn't realize it was a bucket list thing because I don't have bucket lists. I have ideas and I do them. So I didn't realize that so many people dreamed of doing Kilimanjaro and like trained for years. And I just was like, figure it out.
That's a hill.
Yeah. I was like, it'll be fine. You know, they said, poli poli, like slowly, slowly. I'm like, that's great. But then in Swahili, there's also like haraka, haraka, which means like fast. And I told them day two, I'm like, this is not poli poli. This is haraka, haraka. I'm like, I'm just a girl. I can't do this. But yeah, it was great. But it's just that you're with all these people from all over the world. And it's like all kinds of ages, all kinds of fitness levels. And it's just, you're with winners, right? You're with all these people who are climbing a mountain. So you're not thinking about all the people who aren't climbing the mountain. You're just thinking about all the people who are doing it and who are doing it better.
Right. With a shared common goal of
getting to
obviously
the top.
Getting to the top. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So I think that it's kind of like the same thing with like business too, where, you know, I'm sure it's the same thing, but going back to what you were saying about deserving a vacation. Mm-hmm. Now, to be fair, mm-hmm. I am a woman. So that female like energy perspective is very different. And then also I am the youngest of three. So I'm definitely a little bit of a spoiled brat. And princess level because I got two older brothers. So. Like, the whole concept of having to deserve something, I'm like, I deserve it because I'm alive. Yeah. You know, like, what do
I'm
you
here.
Mean? I have to earn it? Absolutely not. Like, yeah. My presence means that I've earned everything good in this life. Yeah. But I understand, like, wanting to put in the work and make sure it's in a good place before you just, like, take up that's responsible.
Right.
You know? Mm. But at the same time, like, that's something that I'm curious about navigating because I feel like being an entrepreneur is such a masculine energy in a certain sense. There's this book, it's called Taming Your Alpha Bitch. And it's basically for women saying like, not too long ago, women were not in the workforce. So the only role models that we have are men who have been successful. But the problem is that when a woman emulates the energy of a man, she comes across as a bitch.
Yeah.
Right? It's not the same energy dynamic. So it's like this book talks about how you can still be a leader and still accomplish with while being in your feminine. Like there's power in that.
Right.
So that's something I'm learning to navigate, which is interesting.
Yeah. So I guess I haven't really thought about that where some of like the earliest people are emulating like, well, men.
Yeah.
I've met a couple people like,
no, it's true, right? And it's like, but if you think about it, mm-hmm. why is
right? Yeah,
mm-hmm. it's because there's that lack of, but also she has to work so much harder to prove herself, she has to be more seriously. But I think it was, I'm so bad with names, but Alex Hormozi's wife. Layla,
yeah.
So she talks about how like one of the benefits of women is that, or being a woman, is that like men just want to help you.
Yeah.
So like if you go into a room being like, oh, they don't take me seriously, like they're not gonna play up that feminine charm. Let them give you all their secrets,
oh,
like
yeah.
wrap them around your little finger. Yeah. Like, that's just like the best. And I'm like, manipulation? Hell yeah. Oh, like, I could do that. That's great. So, yeah.
Play into the flirting a little bit. And
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, because yeah, it's 100% true.
But that's what good business is. It is kind of just flirting.
That's pretty much most of business is just flirting.
Yeah, I mean, flirting isn't the term you would use, but if you think about, let's say, just like in a group of like men who are just hanging out,
well, synonymous, I'll say,
they're like roasting each other and they're just bantering. Mm-hmm. They're just being playful, but at the same time, they're getting shit done.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's how it's 100% a guy thing, especially me and all my buddies. It's like the typical of me and my buddies know that we love each other for constantly talking shit on each other.
Right.
Like, no matter how good or how bad something is.
But is that not what bantering is anyways? Oh,
100%.
And isn't that like kind of what flirting is?
Mm-hmm. And that's 1,000% what me and all my buddies are. It's like we'll talk the most shit to each other, saying they turn their back. It's like, I love that dude.
Right. Because it's like you want people who in the room are going to like push you the hardest and say what they want you to work on. But then like behind closed doors, like they're the ones who are like, you got to work with this guy. He's amazing. You got, just doing those connecting things. Mm-hmm. People want to work with people they like.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
So like that's something really big that I'm learning at the coffee shop that I'm working at right now is like kindness, which I know sounds wild, but I was kind of going into like my little like alpha bitch moment where like, and I'm sure as a business owner, you could relate to this, nickel and diming sometimes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like, you have to be careful not to give too many freebies and stuff away.
Right,
but
yeah.
But small things can create – can I tell you a small thing I do at the coffee shop?
Yeah.
That people go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs over?
Yeah.
So let's say, for example, you come into the coffee shop and you've got some work that you need to do, so you're going to be hanging around. You sit down at the table with your cup of coffee. First of all, if I'm not too busy, I'll bring the cup of coffee to you. That already is like snaps. And then we'll go and bring you a cup of water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just that small.
Just water.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, it's so nice.
Yeah, like, you didn't have to do that.
Yeah, literally. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no, I know.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah, because I mean, it's just those small little things can make a huge difference.
Right. Or even like at the farmer's market, something I, the first farmer's market that I did, I was so nickel and diming every little thing. I had these like stickers with my logo on it. And someone was like, oh, can I have a sticker? I'm like, it's a dollar.
Yeah.
And now I give them away for free with every cup. And people are like, oh, a sticker.
Yeah. So there's, so for example of, well, it's kind of those things like give an inch, they want a mile, like one of those things. There's a lady at FitFest that came. So there was this lady that came to FitFest and had this giant bag, which I was like leading the class, so I didn't see her walk in. And apparently she walked in and first vendor she sees, she's like, yeah, my boyfriend said to come down here because there's a bunch of free stuff that I can grab. And I was like, oh, I was like, I'm glad I wasn't over there, because I'm like, no, like, get beat. There's nothing free. Like, which it's one where like you want to give people free stuff, but if that's like the way that you're announcing it, it's like just taking advantage of people.
Okay, so let's take a step back for a moment. Mm-hmm. What's the purpose of FitFest?
So the whole purpose, at least from my perspective, is more or less like a giant marketing, kind of like a marketing plan, like for us. But really, it's for a lot of the vendors, kind of also getting like their business out. But it's kind of having this big collective piece here, but it just helps with they're telling all their friends, they're telling all their friends, we're telling all of our people, so they get exposure to some of these other companies. But it's more or less for us, because like we can also get views from people that are in person and stuff on social media. It just helps us get like brand awareness out.
Yeah,
so that's how I view it, because like we don't make like a penny off of any of it, but I like to have it just for more or less like a marketing idea, just kind of get the name out. It's like shout out to Firth and then STL Girl Network for setting all that up. They've done amazing 2 years in a row, so hopefully we can keep it going. But they seems like they like to have the repeat, like an annual party of it. It's but it's been awesome so far.
Yeah, so the first year they did it, you were really new.
Yeah, so it'd have been 6 months in. Would have been the first one. There was like 600-ish people.
Okay. So what was the results after the first FitFest for your business? Like, how did you see?
So it was, we actually got, it's like, I never planned on like people like signing up, getting a gym membership, all the stuff like day of.
Plan that? That would have been like my whole thing. I would have been like clipboard out. Like,
yeah. Cause like I was like kind of thinking like if they do great, I'm like, but I was like, I just want to tell people about us and just kind of plant that seed in their head for if it's down the road, then they may come back. So like it was kind of more of that, but I think we ended up getting like 15-20 memberships off of it. And then also like places like BFT closed, Force Performance closed.
Well, STL Girls Network is huge.
Yeah, it's massive.
And it's so cool because one of the founders, Sydney, she just, you know, was a girl's girl. And she moved to St. Louis and she just wanted friends, wanted to hang out. And then it just, people are lonely.
Yeah. And you just, you never know where that stuff can just lead to.
Yeah.
I think on Facebook, there's like 60,000 plus people last I looked.
Instagram, I think it's like 86,000. That's crazy. That's,
especially for something that's just local to St. Louis too. Like that's pretty big.
Yeah. They have a lot of like offshoots of like things that they do within that. Right. So yeah.
Yeah. So that's where like the Fit Fest outreach has been huge. Like utilizing them and also with Firth, like it's been huge blessing so far with being able to host them and just kind of getting our name out too. It's been great so far.
Yeah. So I'm curious from a marketing perspective, like what do you think has been like the best like ROI for you?
I'd say probably, I mean, other than FitFest, I would say probably word of mouth. Because like our family's always like givers, so like we're like we try to make it as easy as possible. Speaking of marketing, that's like a little pitch, but we try to make it as easy as possible. So like it's all month to month stuff. There's no contracts, like the typical corporate gym stuff. And also like members that refer anybody, they get 2 weeks free gym membership. So if you refer two people, you'd have a month free. So it's like it keeps compounding. So I think it's a mix of people wanting to help out a small business and also the mix of like, well, I want free shit. It's like, so if I get my friends in here, I'll get free shit. So I think that's also been a big thing. So the referrals have worked pretty great too, with at least giving some incentive to people, you know, instead of just being like, hey, can you refer this? And I'll give you a pat on the back. It's like,
no one's going to do that.
Yeah. It's like, we'll give you a pat on the back and a shirt and 2 weeks free.
Yeah, no, I've heard this before too. Like I actually heard recently someone say that that was like their best marketing was when you do the referrals where it's like bring a friend and then it's free for you.
Right. Yeah.
Those work very, very well.
Yeah. Like those have been the best as far as like maybe not like lead generation amount, but as far as like great leads, like qualified leads, that's by far been the best.
Right. Well, people need to experience it too. And like I said, especially when it comes to like the gym, people kind of are set in their routines.
Yeah.
So moving to a new gym, like there has to be, although some people like to bounce around gyms.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people like to just keep switching up and go place to place, which I mean, I can understand, you know, it's always nice to have a switch up every once in a while.
Yeah. No, it's funny because one of the trainers that I had at one point, he specifically goes to different gyms just to talk to people.
Oh yeah.
You know, and just like to kind of get that natural networking going where like he's just really trying to build something here in St. Louis. And it's funny because when we first met, my whole thing about the gym, like my biggest fear was that people would talk to me. I was like, oh my God, I'm here. Yeah. Like, what is this? I'm supposed to talk to people too. Like, I can't do two things at once. It's crazy. Like, my raging ADD. Like, there was one day when I, because the problem, not a problem, but the thing with RFT that I, it's been a new experience for me is that, like, already going to the gym, I knew people. And I've been, like, slowly kind of chitter chattering with, like, different people too. But there was, like, one time where I went. And I like ended up talking to someone for like an hour. And then I saw someone else that I knew and I started chit-chatting. And I hadn't even started my workout yet. And then I was like, oh God. Oh. Yeah. And then I was like mid talking to someone. I'm like, listen, you're great. But I can't do this anymore. Like, I can't do this anymore. I'm like, I can't. I need to just put myself in timeout. I'm going to just put my earbuds in because otherwise this won't happen.
Yeah, and, like, you almost feel bad because you don't want to, like, just cold shoulder someone. They're mid-sentence. You're like, okay, bye.
I've been doing that a lot more recently.
But also should have that ability. If it's, like, starting to linger on too much, like, okay, I got to do my stuff.
Well, you know what's interesting? From this podcast, I was just telling my mom this. I was, like, I used, in one of my early 20s, I was really into, like, this kind of conversation, like deep conversations, talking about like what sets your soul on fire, like what do you want out of life? Like, and I still love these, don't get me wrong, it's why I'm doing this, but it is so exhausting to do them like all the time. And like through being a barista, I've learned like the brilliance and like the power of the small talk, mm-hmm. and building rapport even just through the small talk. And sometimes it's like, I have a friend, we don't really talk about anything deep. Mm-hmm. I don't know what we talk about. I really don't. But like, it's just shooting the shit, you know?
And it's even like, even that small talk goes a long way too, especially if it's like a customer or a client, like, they even give you a small detail and you remember that next time, they appreciate the hell out of that.
Totally.
Like someone comes in like, oh, how's your Labrador named Fred doing? They're like, eh. Or even the, yeah, or even like the water thing. Like people, that small detail, people will absolutely love.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like kind of finding that balance too. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, wow, life is so much nicer when you don't just have to have deep conversations all the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like for me, I have to remember those small details because I absolutely suck at names. I'm horrible at names. Well, even like Taylor trained for a month in Dallas, and I was like, you.
I used to be much better at names, but like, to be fair, to give yourself a little grace too, mm-hmm. once you start being in a kind of industry where you're meeting so many people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's on them. To make themselves memorable enough.
Oh, hell yeah.
100%. That you know their names, you know? So it's okay.
Yeah. So it's like, I've given myself a little bit more leeway with that.
I think I'm a little bit luckier than you because I have a complicated name. So most people don't remember my name, but then like, that actually is helpful for them because like, I'll be like, you know, it's a hard name. Like, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, but you know what? Thank God, because I don't know your name either. So I'm about to start again every time. I'm like, let's just make this happen.
I feel like the worst is when someone remembers my name and I don't remember theirs. I'm like, I'm a terrible person.
Yeah, hey, bud.
Person?
Yeah. No, literally. We had a family friend who said that's just a man thing also. He was saying the men are just like worse at like remembering names.
Short-term memory is.
Right. And that's why he was like, that's why, especially like with girls, guys will be like, hey, babe, or like, what's up? Like all those nicknames. It's not because there's anything like necessarily sweet. It's just because it's just like, don't know your name, but like, know your energy. So.
Yeah. It's like, especially if a guy says, usually like, hey, man, or what's up, man? A lot of times they forgot your name.
But do you find, because I feel like I have this recently where it's like, I won't remember the person's name. I'll remember that they had like a dog named Fred, yeah. or that they just had a test that they were passing. Like, you know, I like those kinds of things I'll remember. Like, I'll know all these crazy details about your life, but your name.
Yeah, that's what those little pieces are way easier for me to remember than anything else.
Yeah.
Like the names. Yeah, I'm fried at that. There's no shot I'm getting it.
It's okay.
Like I have to meet someone 3 or 4 times before I'm like, that's who you are.
I'm curious to know, going back, so I love looking for new guests. You have great energy. But there was an article that you had posted on your Instagram story, which was what sparked this whole thing. Because I'm like, oh, he puts himself out there publicly? Great.
Yeah.
Great. And then I remember reading it. And I'm like, there was one like line in there. Like from the whole article, there's just like one thing that like stuck out to me. And it was like, you could always turn like shit into sugar. I was like, hell yeah, you can. That's so great. Perspective is huge. So where did that, I mean, not where did the phrasing come from, but like right. for you, like why is that?
Well, I mean, I've always been kind of like just optimistic in general. Like whether it's having like optimism or, I mean, really just being humble, like whatever situation you're given, like there can always be some light made out of it.
Totally.
So it's kind of why I also got into like stoicism. Because it's also just, I mean, you can have emotion, but it's really just not putting it on display, kind of putting it to the side and staying calm, working through it. So I think that's where I resonate mostly with that, is anything bad that can happen, there's some sort of good that can come out of it. Like yes. there's opportunity in absolutely everything. Like
serve you well as an entrepreneur and business.
Oh, 1,000%. Like COVID, sure, it's bad for a majority of people, but some people saw an opportunity with it,
mm-hmm.
you know, starting like an online business or they lost their 9 to 5 because they can go in physically, so they had to make something up. Like, there's opportunity in everything.
Right. I'm a big believer that life is working out for you.
Right.
So, like, for me, I'm really into, like, Kabbalah, which is, like Jewish mysticism and spirituality. The whole main thing about it is that, like, similar to Stoicism, but it's, like, learning to not be reactive in a negative way. So any negative energy that you could think of, like, being sad, depressed, anxious, angry, frustrated, any of those things, in that moment, giving yourself the grace to be like, what I'm feeling right now is human.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard this quote recently, which was, you can't control your first thought, but you can control your second.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which I really liked, because it's like, eventually, actually, your first thought does change with enough mindset training,
right,
you know?
Right, with enough practice with it.
And yeah. But in that first moment, I'm just like, okay, mm-hmm. feel your feels. But, like, don't react in a right. way that you're going to regret. Mm-hmm. When I was at the gym once, I think I was like, so here's the thing with posting on social, right? Mm-hmm. I have 3 accounts. Mm-hmm. On Instagram, I've got my personal account, I've got my podcast account, and then I've got my Le Cafe coffee account,
mm-hmm.
which, by the way, we're drinking my dark roast. It's a Sumatra and it's very good.
Plug.
You can buy it at lecafe.us. 10% goes for a different charity every month. Okay.
Life is fast, but every now and then you deserve a pause. A moment that's just for you.
At Le Cafe, we believe that each cup of coffee should taste like a little bit of luxury. Handcrafted and locally roasted here in St. Louis, each of our single origin beans are carefully selected to give you the most unique and smoothest experience. Whether you like a light, medium, or dark roast, we got you. For those busy mornings, or for my coffee lovers who prefer efficiency, we also have K-Cups. So go ahead and pour yourself a cup that tastes like self-care. Visit www.lecafe.us to bring the cafe experience home. Le Cafe, you deserve it.
I have raging ADD and I'm an Aries and I have zero patience. And I am not one of those people that, like, understands algorithms and times and strategy. I'm like, fuck strategy. I am the algorithm. I will post when it brings me joy. Yeah. And if that's at 9:30 p.m., then people will find it. It's fine. Because it's like, that's just my new thing. I'm like, I'm not going to let social media stress me out. Because that's how you get burnout.
Yeah. So it's like, it has to be at this time, on this day, for this audience. And like,
I'm not organized enough for that. You know what I mean? Like, I just.
It's a lot of extra stress.
Unless I had a team who did it, let them do it. Maybe one day, that'd be great.
Yeah.
But until mm-hmm. then, it's going to be posted when it brings me joy. And if I'm excited about something, it's going out.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the people who need to find it will find it.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I'm a bigger believer in energy. And that's all there is to it.
Yeah, because I know there's there for a while, or I've heard like mixed reviews of it. It doesn't matter when you post it. It just kind of matters what. Because there for a while, and it was like, I mean, granted, don't post stuff at like 3 a.m., but.
Done it.
Yeah. And it's a thing. Like,
and it's been fine. You know what it is? Alex Hormozi said this. I believe it was him. He was talking about, like, when you're posting on socials and, like, you're not getting any engagement, but you're like, think that your posts are so great or whatever. They're not.
Right.
Because if they were, you would get engagement.
Well. Yeah.
Right. So it's a combination of two things. I think it's about people finding you. Because I've found that as my accounts have grown in followers, I've gotten more engagement. But also, like, I believe in immersion therapy.
Mm-hmm.
I was off Instagram for a whole year when I was 23. No intention ever going back on because of this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Had to go back on. And then last year I decided, well, I suck at this whole real thing. So on my personal page, no one gives a shit. It's my personal page. If you don't like it, don't follow me.
Right, yeah.
So I literally turned everything into a reel. Just documenting my life. Went through the car wash, put on some inspirational music, slept on a quote. You know what I mean? Just to learn. And so it's funny because, like, I remember some of the beginning reels that I started doing. I thought I was, like, so great and I was so proud of them. And I'm looking back and I'm like, holy, I am getting whiplash because I was so nervous to take the videos that I was like, and then time up, sing it to 10. You know, and I'm like, wow, this is really nauseating to watch. And I'm like, but I remember being so proud. But you have to suck first.
Oh, 1,000. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's how, I mean, you just have to find out. Like, if someone thinks they're going to do anything and be great right away, they're out of their minds unless they're insanely gifted. Like, you still have to go out there. You have to suck one way or another. Like, you have to be pretty bad at something and then start to learn the curves of it, then get better at it, grow. And yeah, there's a lot of elements to, well, like running a business, doing anything, like you have to be bad at quite a bit of it and then figure it out. Like the, what's the quote? Entrepreneurship or running a business is like jumping out of a plane and building a parachute on the way down. It's 1,000% what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the thing is, you're not going to know what you need to fix until you're there. Like, you're never going to be 100% prepared. And, like, you also have to just, I think it's really more of, I quote, like, Alex Hormozi a lot because he just has, like, such great stuff.
Yeah, I love Hormozi.
And he, like, he said this thing once where, like, confidence is not something you have, like, first. That comes afterwards when you have, like, undeniable proof because you've just done the thing. So, like, yeah, now I'm confident because I've work towards this and I know I can do this. But right. What's cool is when you keep putting yourself in those situations that you're afraid of, you start to get this like undeniable like self faith in yourself, where even if you put yourself in something where it's like it's still normal, you still get nervous, whatever, but you're like, but I have all this proof, all these other hard things that I've done and I've been okay, and I trust that everything's figured outable.
Right.
I'll figure it out.
It's like kind of a, it almost becomes like a law of attraction.
Dude,
almost.
Scared too. Mm-hmm. It's huge.
Oh, 1,000%.
Immersion therapy. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you have to jump in.
Yeah.
Like to learn how to do it.
Do you know how bad my ADD is? The whole point of this whole tangent was that I was going to tell you that I love the couches. No. That brown couch. I don't know why. Like, what was the time that I sat down to like do something on my phone? And I was like, this is nice. I also have an addiction to your water at the gym.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Best
water. You should join the gym just for the water. RFT.
And also, you can get the futons at Sam's.
Really? Yeah. LOL. Is that what a futon? Okay.
Yeah. Well, like technically a futon, but they're nice couches, though.
It's so comfy. It's really problematic because I'll be sitting there and I'll be like, I do have things I could be doing on my phone right now. Cool.
Oh, okay. And the chairs are from IKEA. The chairs are pretty nice too.
Have I sat in the chairs? I don't know. It's that like leather brown, like tan couch.
Yeah, it's that, there's like the tan couches, like those are from Sam's. And then the two chairs, those are from IKEA. It has like the, brown wood. I mean, it's like a faux wood, but it has like that blue cushion. They're like kind of angled.
Yeah.
At the table. Like those are super comfy. I've fallen asleep in those probably like 10 times.
Sleep.
Yeah.
This is what I dream of. I dream of sleeping. And it's the thing that I push off the most.
Yeah, that's same here. Get too excited to sleep that I can't actually sleep.
Yeah. Well, also my problem is I'll drink coffee sometimes because it's like so yummy. Yeah, I just think the space that you've created is so cool. And I think like even just taking this moment here to just be like, you did the thing. You're doing the thing.
Yeah.
And that's huge.
Yeah, because there was like a after like the 1 year mark, it was kind of like, well, you know, like people saying like, oh, it's a great space, all this, and where I get that response from like, oh, it's something. Like it wasn't until then, there was like a week later, I was like kind of reflecting, I was like, this is fucking crazy. It was like, then it kind of hit. And then it wasn't a week later. I was like, oh, we could do so much better.
Mm.
But there's like every once in a while, I get that reflection from like, this is nuts.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't believe this is happening. But right. It's always good to have that reflection of, well, the fact they give that response of like, oh yeah, we could do a lot better. But still having to where it's like, oh, we've come a long way.
Yeah. And I think, you know, even in terms of like, when you're talking to other people, you can just be like, yeah, I'm really grateful.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
You know?
Yeah.
It's not like you're saying you can't do more. It's just like you're grateful that you're here.
Oh, yeah, because I never take for granted at all. There's not a single instance that could. We could have 100 of them, and I would still be super grateful for it.
What's the big picture dream?
Well, big picture dream would be, well, at least in the 5-year plan, it's one in Florida, one in my hometown, one in Texas. That would be like the 5-year.
So why Florida? Texas, you were there, but why Florida?
So Florida, well, other than tax purposes, my business partner, he's from Florida, but he wants to live in Florida. His wife doesn't really want to, 'cause she's like, we don't have much business there. And he's like, okay. And it's a typical, like, wife runs the roost kind of thing. So, like, he wants to go back there, but he needs a reason to, like, move back there. So, I want to have one there so, like, he can go there and just kind of expand. I mean, really, if we have 5 or 100, like 1,000, like, it'd be not all the same, but it would be the same. Because really, I just want to give a space of clients or members coming in. It's super convenient with, like, the no cancellation, all that. Like, that'll stay tried and true forever. But also giving trainers a space where they can make, basically, like, develop, like, their own business within. If they just love training, that's fine. They'd still make 25% more at our location than any, like, corporate gym. Essentially, unless they ran their own thing. If they ran their own thing, of course, they'd make more, but you also have to put an ungodly amount of money front. So that's where we're trying to be the umbrella of providing the space for them, and they can develop their own business without having the crazy startup cost, essentially. It's so, like, the long-term goal is just, if we have a bunch of locations, great. If not, not the end of the world, but really just trying to have a space for convenience for members and also for coaches, trainers, to have a space where they can develop their own business and, of course, still make money from it. But they don't have to charge an ungodly amount of money to their client just because most of the gyms are taking a high majority of the rake of what they're charging.
Right. So I'm curious, because I feel like this is just true of life in general, but also just from, like, a business owner and entrepreneur's perspective. So obviously, like, you look back on time and, like, see the good, you could see the bad, you could see the shit, you could see the sugar. But on a day-to-day, what would you say is, like, the most exciting thing about it? Now, obviously, some days are just days.
Yeah.
You know, not everything is super exciting.
I think really it's just first thing, getting up in the morning and just, I mean, it legit, there's a lot of work, but it never feels like work. I think that's by far the most exciting thing, of whether if I just have to do, like, phone calls all day or cold calls or a bunch of sessions, like, it's all the same, but it's all exciting knowing that this is all something that me and my business partner created. So it's like, honestly, it's all exciting just getting up in the morning and not having the feeling of, like, I'm going to a dead-end job. I hate my boss. I hate all this. So I think the most exciting thing is just knowing that where I'm going is, like, our thing, and we're just continuing to grow it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's by far the best thing, because I don't get up in the morning and I'm like, this place sucks.
Right.
But sometimes I do that.
But even if there is something that sucks, you're the one who could fix it.
Right, yeah.
And it's just a matter of figuring it out, and that's exciting.
Right, and that's what I just love, like, just figuring stuff out, too. So it also helps me for down the road, or if somebody else has a problem like that, I can always help in one aspect or another.
Yeah. So talking back to, like, when you were saying you didn't feel like you deserved a vacation, so, like, taking a moment to, like, let go of all the responsibilities, like, what would be, like, your dream, like, I want to enjoy life and do something for me.
I would say,
like, it's like your bucket list item, right? Like, Kilimanjaro, for example, was something where I'm like, I know I'm about to start this whole entrepreneur journey, and it's going to need me to be there, like, day in, day out. So, like, let me do one last big hurrah. Because I won't be able to just take off 2 weeks or 3 weeks to go travel the world, you know?
I think mine would be really just having, like, house, land, and then an RV to just go wherever, like, kind of just check the country out, like, just a long road trip. That's,
was that you who posted, maybe it was Josh posted on his story where he was like, if you watch the news, you'll be disappointed in America, but if you want to love America, take a road trip.
I think Josh probably would have posted that, but I think I've seen that though. Yeah, because that's honestly super true, because I know that's Well, so my dad's dream is when he retires, get a new truck, get a fifth wheel camper, and just go check the country out. I'm like, I don't know. Like, I'm pretty jealous. I was like, and this is 63-year-old man's dream, and I'm 29 going, oh, I want to do that.
I think that kind of desire has worked out for you in the past.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. So, like, even, well, next year, me and my dad are planning on going on, like, it's like an enduro trip. So, it's like street legal dirt bike. It's a trail that goes from Los Angeles to New York City. And so, we're planning on doing that next year.
Is that like the back end roads and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's like, cool. Take a bunch of trails, back roads, and stuff. Well, we're not going to do the whole thing right away, but we're going to break it up in segments of 10 days. Start in New York City, however far we get, go back home next year. We'll do the same thing 10 days. Just try to slowly work through it.
So cool.
Yeah, so that's like at least the next big trip that I have planned is we're going to go buy a couple of motorcycles. As soon as we buy it, within a couple of days, we're going out and doing that. So it'll be a good like father-son bonding time. And also, it's just both what we want to do.
But also, the boss is like super like guy's guy.
Mm-hmm.
He like one of the Stoics is part of. He was Roman Emperor Marcus Aurelius.
Aurelius, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So he had his readings
too. Oh yeah, because he's the one that we suffer more often in our imagination than reality. He's the one that.
He's the one who says that. Okay, so I just remember the one thing from that book was he talks about how he had like he was like the world's greatest emperor warrior, right? And he would hire a slave to like whisper in his ear all the time, like, you're just a man, you're just a man, you're just a man. Which again goes back to full circle our beginning the conversation, like that male female polarity energy, because women were like, we're goddesses, we're the best, we're the greatest.
Yeah.
But in high school, actually, yeah, I'll share this. So I went to a super religious high school, all girls, right? So we had life skills and we had marriage classes and we had all these kinds of things that are like very traditional that I don't think you would find in a typical public school, let's say. So in one class, we had a whole speech on how like the differences between like men and women.
Mm-hmm.
So men are at the bottom of the ladder,
mm-hmm.
and their whole role and energy in life is to like attain. Right. And women mm-hmm. are at the top of the ladder and our whole role in life is to maintain.
Right.
But guys are inherently lazy, mm-hmm. and then they'll try to bring you down. But it's just a test and maintain yourself.
And right.
Because mm-hmm. they won't respect you if you don't. Yeah. That was the whole basis on this. Why am I sharing this? Because it goes back to that whole concept of like, I think just energetically, like men being like, oh, I don't deserve this. I need to work harder. I need to work harder. And we're like,
I need to do better. I need better. Like,
we're like, and I think like women hear that and we're like, oh. Little self-love would help you. You'll be fine. I don't understand that energy at all. You know, it's like, I think it's a human thing to like maybe feel like, oh, I could be doing better.
Right, yeah.
But I think I just know like in the women's circles that I'm in, a lot of us are all just like, whenever we get into that mentality, because we still have that mentality too, we're always just like, the way we encourage each other is like, oh, but you're doing so great.
Right. Yeah.
Like you're so amazing. And like coming from that kind of, but I don't think that kind of talk really would drive a man.
No, no, not at all. Usually with guys, it's kind of like, you're an idiot. Why aren't you doing better for yourself? It's usually more of that.
Yeah.
Like somewhat, everybody's different, but somewhat self-deprecating a little bit.
Yeah.
That's what I think the internal dialogue usually
versus
is.
I just saw a reel where a girl was saying about how like, she's like, you know what? This is the year where I don't have to work hard to get everything that I want. I deserve it. I just get what I want. And I'm like, hell yeah. Yeah. Just bring it to me. And like, what's crazy, talking about law of attraction, whenever I've been in that energy space where like, I trust the timing of my life. I don't want anything because even if I don't have something that I want, I know that life is working out for me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's all going to happen at the right time. So, of course, everything that happens to me, even if it seems bad, I'm like, turn that shit into sugar. I'm like, I don't logically see how this is benefiting me right now, but I know with certainty beyond logic
mm-hmm.
that everything's working out.
Right. And it might be some for later that does end up helping you out, you know?
It does. There's been, I think that's what I enjoy about getting older. Not that we're both the same age. It's not, we're not that old by any means.
Right.
But I'm starting to feel, do you feel it?
Yeah, I definitely, well, I see it a little bit too. I've been getting a lot more grays.
And, do you?
Yeah, I think 2 years ago I had one and now I have like 15 of them or something. Mm-hmm. Not that I individually counted, but my barber is kind of going.
Oh, damn.
It's like, hey, silver fox here soon. I was like, yeah, maybe.
My dad turned silver when he was like 16.
16?
Yeah, I was real scared to turn 16. I was like, is that going to happen to me? But I'm okay for it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to wig it out. Like,
well, we do in our culture when you get married. Like,
really?
Jewish women covered. Well, I mean, depends on how strict you are, but yes.
Right.
They'll wear the wigs.
Is that like the... Well, it depends on like your Orthodox,
correct?
Something, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct. And just, and then like as you get more modern, like I think where I'm holding is, we call it Jews for Joy. So it's like there's so much of like my heritage and my culture and my faith that like means so much to me, and I love, and whatever means something to me, I keep, and whatever doesn't, it's a journey. Mm-hmm. I don't say never, because when you say never, then it happens. So well, I'd rather just say it's a journey.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely don't say never.
That's, yeah.
That's exactly when it'll happen.
Yeah, that's why I'm just like, it's a journey. Everything happens when it's supposed to happen. But in terms of covering your hair, I mean, hell yeah. I'm going to get a wig down to my butt. Get one of those Russian thick wigs. Hell yeah. I'll be a redhead one day, a blonde the next. You'll never know. You'll never see me coming. This is my dream. And also, like, can you imagine, like, not that you have to deal with this, but, like, in the morning, all I do is just toss on the salon quality hair that's, like, done. Mm-hmm.
Basically, just like being a dude. You just wake up, throw some water.
But better. Done.
But better, yeah.
But better. This has been so great. I want to be respectful of your time. So I have this tradition at the end of every podcast. So this whole podcast is based on this Hebrew quote, which is, Eza hachacham halomei mikol adam, which means one who is wise is one who learns from everyone. We learned a lot from you today. So if you can share your favorite quotable quote.
Oh, yeah, that'd definitely be the Marcus Aurelius one, where it's, we suffer more often in imagination than reality.
Yeah.
So it's almost, it's like, if you have anxiety about something, it's going to happen anyways. There's no reason to, like, get in sort of the mental gymnastics about it. It's going to happen. Let it happen. It's just putting on a brave face whenever it does happen, and then learning from it.
And sometimes it doesn't happen. And also, like... I feel like it's never as bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's like your fear.
Right.
If that mm-hmm. makes sense. Going back to our earlier topic of like trusting yourself and that you can handle whatever you need to handle.
Mm-hmm. And then if it's like even an event that's coming up, there's a bunch of anxiety. Like I get there's like a stage fright, whatever, someone has it, but it's like, it's going to happen anyways, no matter how good or bad, just let it happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like trying to have that let go sort of feeling. So like letting go control, you know.
So much better when you do that.
Oh, so much better.
My friend and I, we do that a lot. Mm-hmm. Just, that's, we do that with our hands. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like in high school, whenever like I would give like book reports, speeches, whatever, most terrifying shit on the planet.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, now I'm like a social butterfly. It's like learned behavior for me because naturally I'm like introverted. I like being.
Are you?
Yeah. Weirdly enough, but my mom's traits start to take over. But naturally, I'm introverted to myself, riding my dirt bike in the woods, like all that stuff. That's what I love, just being out in nature, all that. But it was like, so doing like book reports and all stuff, going up there, clammy hands, sweating. Then I started learning, I was like, I got to be the first one. I got to be the first one to go. I was like, if I'm the last one or... We have four people doing a report. I'm the fourth one. When they're presenting, I don't hear shit that's going on. So they're going, oh, how do I? Okay, I'm going to go. Then you get up there, bombed tons of times. It's like going up there, fly through all of it. Don't take the pauses I need. It's supposed to be like a 5-minute talk. Matter of fact, 45 seconds. I'm like, yep. So that's pretty much it. Like, awful. So like, I started learning of, be the first one, set the bar, even if it's at the floor, whatever, it's done. I have no time to think about it.
Yeah.
And it got so much better from that. So I'd volunteer. I'm like, me, screw her. I'm going now. Like, I got to get this done.
Yeah. Immersion therapy is huge too. Like, constantly putting yourself in those situations. Babe's in business. So once a month they meet, and we would sit, we sit in a circle. And a lot of times there's new faces, and it's like we're all waiting to introduce ourselves, talk about our business, and like all these little things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like those type of environments, like you can feel your heart beating so fast.
Oh, all the time.
Heat rushes to your face. You can't feel your tongue. Red and... Oh.
It's so like, nice. I need some water.
And even that, you're like, I'm going to drink the water and it's going to splash my face. That happens to me too. Just like what's... And then you're just so aware of your body. Then when you're aware of your body that way, just like anything that flails will flail. Like, it's just the worst. But like, I realized recently, because I've been going to these babes in business every month since last December, I don't get nervous in big circles when I introduce myself anymore. Like, hell yeah.
Yeah. Then you start to think, you're like, why was I ever like that? What was the point?
That's the crazy thing about fear. So when I turned 20, I used to have a lot of anxiety and be really shy myself. And so I made this promise to myself, kind of like yes man, like Jim Carrey, within reason, I say yes to everything. Right. Within reason, I say, because I'm not here trying to like have drugs. Mm-hmm. But but yeah, if it seems like I'm scared, but I see like the benefit of how it could, you know, make me better.
Mm-hmm.
Also, are you familiar? You are. Bill Burr?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm like, it's the type.
Yeah. Bill Burr is hilarious.
There's an interview that he did. You know what I love? I love when you see comedians on interviews where it's like not their show. You just see them in their natural element and like they just are that person.
Yeah. And Bill Burr is that 1000% no matter where he is.
So he was in an interview and he was like, you know, sitting in like his typical fashion where he's just like,
yeah, he just kind of kicked
he's
back.
He's so chill. He's like, it's all going to work out. And even if it's not going to work out, isn't it better to say that it's all going to work out?
Yeah,
and then when
it doesn't
work out, you figure it out.
Yeah, he's like, isn't it just better to think that it is going to work itself out anyways?
Yeah, this has been great.
Yeah, I'll say it's been awesome.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody should come join your gym.
1000%.
Yes. Okay. Do all the shout outs for your gym.
1530 South Kings Highway, Ready Fitness Training. 24/7 gym, we have personal training. We have a RFT Plus strength training class. Day passes for $11. It can be used as credit towards your membership. Keep hearing the mics here. I was almost blocking it. any referrals you have, 2 weeks free of gym membership. You have to come by and try it.
Yeah. I'll be there most days.
Yeah.
yeah, this has been so great. Guys, if you're not already watching the video, this episode can be found on Spotify or YouTube, but please go to YouTube because if I get 1,000 subscribers, I start getting paid. And if you're not already subscribed, what are you doing with your life? And I hope you guys love this episode. Please share it with a friend, and I hope you have a great week. Let's get it. Let's go.